children.
We're getting old, and I feel like being like a political doormat used here.
Have
you heard about that?
Is the economy wiping its hands or its feet?
I don't know whether it let a fart out in Darwin or what it did, but it was all, you know, everybody sucked it in, including Bob Brown in Parliament. And then I thought all this belligerent speaking about China and projecting the Pacific power here, it's, I feel like uncomfortable being the doormat here. I said uncomfortable. I didn't use any drastic expressions.
Just uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Well, that's understandable, isn't it?
And that's why I intended to do a program just on politicians. So the whole lot, generic thing. And then the worst of them, of course.
But what about the politics of politics?
Well, that's going too far. I mean, then I would have to include all the academics babbling and all the mediocre experts babbling and the media babbling. That's too much. You know?
No,
we don't really need that. I want to condense it down to the spoken word of the elected or just fallen or aspiring representatives. to make a point of telling what it's like to be a doormat. A political doormat, I mean.
So they class themselves as representatives.
They trample all over my intellectual sense of politics and the real world understanding.
In other words, they're not actually representing you.
No, they're just wiping their feet on my me, you know.
Well, who do you think they're representing then, in that case?
That's what's to be revealed during the show.
You could make sure that you don't have the welcome mat out. Just put a mat out.
The president is in Australia tonight, his third try to get there.
U.S. troops in Australia?
Mr. President, I welcome you to the House of Representatives chamber. Your address today is a significant occasion in the history of the House.
The United States is a Pacific power, and we are here to stay. Let me tell you what this means. This is the future we seek in the Asia Pacific. That's what we stand for. Interests in the region demand our enduring presence in the region.
With Australia's legendary diggers, you are some of the toughest warriors in the world. In a sense, it was here, in Darwin.
As comic books have captured the imagination of so many young people with superheroes. That's who we are. Spot on. Cracker Jack. In top nick.
Tides out, no tears. You're off on a plane for a year. Kiss me, I'm yours. You don't need to fill your heart with fear.
And we can say with confidence and with pride, the alliance between the United States and Australia is deeper and stronger than it has ever been. Spot on.
The United States of America has no stronger ally than Australia.
The United States has no closer ally than Great Britain.
France is not only our oldest ally, but also one of our closest.
Korea is one of America's closest allies, the United States and Canada. We could not have a better friend and ally.
Poland is one of our strongest and closest allies.
We're a single ohana, one family. Tonight, with your permission, I'd like to give it a burl. I think she'll agree it was a real chin wag. A lot of ear bashing, because there's a lot of ear bashing sometimes.
Constellation, light years out. This is the love I won't get back. Constellation, broken. Dream light, shadowy connection.
Prime Minister Gillard, Leader Abbott, thank you both for your very warm welcome. Members of the House and Senate, ladies and gentlemen.
Push comes to shove. Are you willing to fight as hard for the wealthiest Americans? That's the choice.
One family. Ear bashing.
How significant?
It's very significant.
Very significant.
A very significant moment.
Very significant.
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 Very significant.
Significant.
Very significant.
I hate using this word. I'm sorry to use it over and over, the significance, but it is significant.
But one thing he apparently does not need to worry about, crocodiles.
Crocodile insurance.
Crocodile insurance policy.
Now, I also understand that he also doesn't like coffee. He doesn't drink coffee.
What I do know is ice cream is not on the menu.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, tell us about
ear bashing. Ear bashing.
You're about to see is an environmental disaster, and it's the work of one man. Each December, this man encourages us to cut down millions of trees and then just throw them out. He gets us to spend millions of dollars on gifts, most of which we don't need. All the packaging generates mountains of waste that has to be burned or used in landfill. The orgy of eating and drinking when he's around is responsible for tons of rotting rubbish that has to be burned or buried. In all, this man is responsible for releasing huge amounts of poisonous gases into our atmosphere every year. Perhaps this explains his fascination for chimneys. Yes, Santa Claus is coming to town for Christmas. Let's make this the last one, because for the sake of the planet, we've got to stop this Christmas.
Waste big money so I could get anything.
Fixing global finance.
What am I working on? I'm working on something that'll change the world and human life as we know it.
Change it a lot or just a bit? You'll have to be more specific.
Crystalline tropane alkaloid obtained from the leaves of the cocoa plant. A serotonin dopamine reuptake inhibitor which mediates functionality of neurotransmitters as an exogenous catecholamine transporter ligand. An addictive prize for the brain's mesolimbic reward pathway. This isn't just any cocaine. This is M&S cocaine.
When I look back on the early days of my political career, I can't quite believe how naive I must have been. Most people that I then knew, including me, thought that their elected government was there to carry out their wishes. Whereas I now know that elected politicians are in power to tell the electorate what to do. I don't suppose that I was very quick on the uptake in those far-off days. Yes, odd that it seems. I worked hard for years trying to bring about the changes that my constituents had voted me in on. Getting nowhere with that line of attack, I scale my efforts back to concentrating on just one small issue. But as usual, I met with only minimal success, if you can call it that. Anyway, all that stuff was way back in the distant past, back before the penny dropped. Yeah. It finally dawned on me that none of those things really mattered. What was really important was whom you knew in the right places. The voters had become blasé and disillusioned anyway. They had little respect for pollies except perhaps for our ability to belittle opponents on the floor or during media interviews. Our political worth was often judged on this entertaining performance. I soon realised that with the right support, I didn't have a worry in the world. When I think back on it, somewhere along the line, I must have twigged that I didn't really have to achieve anything. I just had to create the illusion of achievement. nothing would really change. That was it. I just had to keep rearranging the status quo like all the others. I successfully lobbied those who were influential among the bureaucrats, power brokers and other politicians. They were somewhat of an elite group, but in time they accepted me into their exclusive club. From them I learned how to make the most of all the perks available. Travel allowance, overseas junkets, living away from home allowance, and of course the odd inducement from powerful lobby groups, not mentioning any names, of course. All in all, I suppose that my political career has been good to me, very good in fact. I only had to perform in front of my constituents leading up to elections, occasionally making a showing on the floor of the House for the sake of the cameras and toe the party line. Yeah, all considered, she's a pretty good system. Give me democracy any day. I just hope our security forces pick up on any would-be terrorists before those fanatical bastards can do something silly like that gunpowder treason plot bloke way back when. Now, what was his name? Ah, yes, Fawkes. Guy Fawkes, remember him? Bloody terrorist.
Australia's gonna hop. And by hopping, it's going to inspire other people to hop with it. He's not my man.
You know, when I was a boy, we used to turn to our parents. My guess is 20, 25 years from now, you young guys in the front row here, your kids are going to turn to you and say, how did you make it through the United States of America?
Electromagnetic pulse attack, which would literally destroy the country's capacity to function.
I just don't do that kind of thing. It's not my style. This kind of Machiavellian ruthlessness, death squads, it's not me.
The third agency of government, yeah. I would do away with the education, and let's see, I can't. The third one I can't, sorry. Oops.
$140 million. You got about 22 million people living here in Australia, so what's that? It's 140,000 divided, so you got about 70, so you're going to have to look at about 6,336.
Sadly, any improvement. Here's why. And there's a big bear in the meeting room, and the bear is eating, but no one in the room acknowledges the bear is even there. They try to ignore him. To make matters worse, the bear only eats the really good. The bear doesn't want the porps anymore. He wants the best only. The bear's the problem. We've abandoned the simple common sense of our founding fathers. They were so naive, those founding fathers. It's amazing how they wrote a constitution. And I will get the bear out of the room.
I don't think you're going to find somebody who has more of those attributes than I do. I've been married to the same woman for 25... Excuse me. I get in trouble.
Well, you know, we as I said, we've got... Dennis, we've got $1.4 billion with the Labor government. $1,400 million. So we've got $1,400 for which we need to find $3.2. I think I'm up to that task. I really do.
Ear bashing. Do I have to send this one?
Why not?
It's to Maurice in Brussels. He's the one who forced through the plan to standardize the Euro sausage.
Euro?
By the end of next year, we shall be waving goodbye to the good old British sausage. We'll be forced to accept some foreign muck like salami or bratwurst or something in its place.
But they can't stop us eating the British sausage, can they?
They can stop us calling it the sausage, though. Apparently it's got to be called the emulsified high-fat offal tube.
And you swallowed it?
It's my job to implement EEC regulations. Could finish my career.
But what have they got against our sausage?
Oh, dear. Don't you ever read the papers you give me?
Well, if I glanced at it, Minister, would it rather put me off?
Apparently, there's not enough meat in it. The average British sausage consists of 32.5% fat, 6.5% rind, 20% water, 10% rusk, 5% seasoning, preservative and colouring, and only 26% meat, which is mostly gristle, head meat, other offcuts, and mechanically recovered meat steamed off the carcass.
Perhaps the EEC commissioner is right.
He may be right, but it'd be extremely unpopular with the voters. Oh, well, she'll just have to grit our teeth and bite on the bullet.
You can't bite a bullet if you're gritting your teeth, Minister. You see, if you do that, you can't get a bullet.
On the European budget, as the Chancellor has just said, it is not acceptable, as the European Parliament has suggested, at a time when we also agree, as Angela has just said, is in all our interests.
Halten zusammen, wir haben zusammengehalten, wir werden zusammenhalten.
Ear bashing.
Well, how does the call happen?
Well, it's really the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, he can speak to you at any time, any place. Oh, it's all right. You'll know when it happens.
It sounds wonderfully mysterious.
Politicians are going to be judged on everything they say, but sometimes in the heat of discussion you go a little bit further than you would if it was an absolutely calm, considered, prepared, scripted remark, which is one of the reasons why the statements that need to be taken absolutely as gospel truth is those carefully prepared, scripted remarks.
You're a terrible liar.
And a lot of people pointed out back then that there was a bit of inconsistency, and I accept that. It wasn't absolutely consistent with what I said. When we're in the heat of verbal combat, so to speak, we'll sometimes say things that go a little bit further.
Tony Abbott, thanks for your time tonight.
It's always good to see you, Brian, and thank you for inviting me in.
You must get very sick of people pointing out that you've said something that completely contradicts your position on a matter.
Well, you'd be surprised how often they do this, Brian.
It's not very helpful in your position.
It's terribly unhelpful, Brian. It's very, very unhelpful. I mean, it's a difficult enough job anyway.
Yeah, without getting sniped at all the time.
Yeah, well, it's not just being sniped at. It's the criticism, Brian, for saying things that are actually mutually exclusive.
That is tough.
Oh, it's terribly tough. I mean, I need to make statements, Brian.
Sure,
I mean, this is what I do.
Well, you say things.
This is what the role is. I mean, I'm the leader of the opposition. I haven't got a lot of choice.
I mean, it really completely undercuts your purpose, doesn't it?
It does. An absolutely relentless focus on what you've said. All the time.
All the time. And you wouldn't get a break from it.
It's absolutely... Brian, it literally happens all the time.
It must get very tiresome.
Brian, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I wonder why I bother.
I honestly sometimes wonder,
why would you bother?
Sure. On the other hand, it could be one way of interpreting the role of the leader of the opposition, couldn't it?
What, that you generate statements that are actually opposed to one another?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch, Brian. I think it would be broadly understood in the community that the role of the opposition leader is to make statements that are not so much opposed to each other, but opposed to the statements made by the government.
Yeah, but generating ideas that are at loggerheads with themselves, that's a great start.
It's a healthy start. There's no
you're
question.
Off to a fly
it's a very
there,
encouraging
yeah, yeah,
start.
Sure.
The direction would be the thing you'd be looking for.
Yeah,
next.
I suppose it would be a lot better if what you said made sense.
In a perfect world, yeah, right.
Sure.
You know, ideally, it would.
Mm,
yeah.
Because you had one of those this week, didn't you?
I have them every week, Brian. As I say, you'd be surprised how often this happens.
Yeah, with the carbon tax. Because
right.
You're opposed to a carbon tax.
Of course I am. It's a great, big, huge, new government tax on businesses and families right across Australia. Australian businesses and Australian families. A tax on all of them.
And previously, though, you said if you wanted to bring in a carbon price, we'll bring in a carbon
tax. Well, that'd be the way to do it. Yeah, just don't muck about. Bring it in.
Yeah,
you're
going
to bring it in, bring it in.
Sure,
yeah.
But you're opposed to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the difficulty for me, Brian. You've spotted it in one.
That is hard.
Yep. It's very tough, Brian.
So what did you say?
I said that the first statement was made before Copenhagen.
Copenhagen,
yes. A place in Europe. I think it's in Europe.
Copenhagen. Well,
Dave, where's Copenhagen?
What did they say when you said Copenhagen?
Oh, a ripple of applause in the party room.
In the party room. What about outside?
Oh, it didn't go so well out there. No, it's tough out there, Brian. It's tough out there.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Oh, it's
really
very
tough
out there. Yeah.
Well, good luck with it all, Tony Abbott.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Is that it? You haven't got any other questions? Nothing else you'd like to discuss?
No, not really. No, why?
I'm not going out there, Brian.
Yeah.
It's tough out there.
Yeah.
It was the show that got all of Australia talking.
Shut the fuck up!
Your fucking head off.
Now, six ordinary refugees will be forced to confront their own prejudice as they embark on a personal journey of understanding and go back to where Tony Abbott came from.
I hate Tony Abbott. I just don't like anything about him.
They'll be taken to the places that formed his worldview, from his church.
I don't know how any living person could do that every week after week.
To his university at Oxford.
They face so much brutality here. It's unbelievable.
Right back to the privileged private school where it all started.
Oh my God, look at that weird headdress.
Maybe this is not good. We need to stop the butters.
Because you can't understand someone until you've run 20 miles in their shoes. They're going back to where Tony Abbott came from.
I've been just in Canberra. That completely changed my mind. No one should live in a hellhole like that.
The International Atomic Energy Agency has said that Iran has been working towards building a nuclear bomb.
Iran worked on detailed computer modeling of nuclear weapons.
The United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Group uncovering troubling new details about Iran's nuclear program.
A nuclear bomb. UN atomic inspectors say Iran now has enough enriched uranium to make one.
10 new nuclear plants like this one represents a massive increase in Iran's ability to produce enriched uranium.
Iran has mastered the critical steps necessary to design and construct a nuclear weapon.
An alleged threat to bomb and kill and assassinate a diplomat who was being hosted here in the United States.
What is perhaps most important here is the direct link that could exist to the Iranian government, to the very highest levels.
The alleged hit squad included a failed used car salesman from Texas and a Mexican drug gang.
Israel having well-known nuclear arsenal, but not being a signatory to the NPT. Iran not having a nuclear arsenal, and yet is under all this pressure.
Their assets, subject to U.S. jurisdiction, will be frozen, and American individuals and entities will be prohibited from engaging in any transactions with them. And finally, as Secretary Geithner will discuss in more detail, the Treasury Department is formally identifying Iran as a jurisdiction of primary money laundering concern. This is the strongest official warning we can give that any transaction with Iran poses serious risks of deception or diversion. These steps were accompanied today by complementary measures by the UK and Canada, and we expect additional sanctions by other international partners in the days ahead. And let me be clear, today's actions do not exhaust our opportunities to sanction Iran. We continue actively to consider a range of increasingly aggressive measures.
Iran is probably less than a year away from getting a nuclear weapon.
A key part of this strategy has been to impose overwhelming financial pressure on Iran. As we put these new measures in place, and as we continue to work to expand their reach around the world, we will continue to explore other measures. No option is off the table.
We need a strategy of defeating and replacing the current Iranian regime. But if we were serious, we could break the Iranian regime, I think, within a year, starting, candidly, with cutting off the gasoline supply to Iran, and then, frankly, sabotaging the only refinery they have. Replacing the regime with a war, which beats allowing them to have a nuclear weapon.
Today, we are taking the very significant step of acting under Section 311 of the Patriot Act. For the first time, we are identifying the entire Iranian banking sector, including the Central Bank of Iran, as a threat to governments or financial institutions that do business with Iranian banks.
If you look at the topography of Iran, with our friends in that part of the world, like Israel, attack Iran to try and stop them, not to put boots on the ground. Stopping Iran may be nearly impossible without direct military intervention. That's how you stop Iran long-term from developing a nuclear program.
We need to sanction the Iranians about a military strike. They truly have to deal with the United States. And I'm talking about Syria and bringing them into the mix as well. And in that moment,
They will understand that America is serious.
We should be trying to find the bomber, not the bomb.
Who would be proven?
Well, the folks who are most likely to be committing these crimes. If you look at it, I mean, obviously it was people, obviously Muslims would be someone you'd look at. Absolutely. Those are the folks. These are things that you profile.
Targeted identification.
President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his country will not back down in the face of possible UN sanctions.
What the next president of the United States is going to say. Now, this is going to shock you. Wouldn't you think, after all this time, to hire someone?
We are not going to change the climate from this building. But we are not going to change the temperature of the globe. We are not going to affect the temperature of the globe.
We've been waiting for so long. For somebody to see the signs.
The American people deserve better than my character and my integrity, and for every one person that comes forward with an accusation, there are thousands who would say that sort of activity came from Herman Cain.
For those who've abandoned hope, we'll restore hope and we'll welcome them into a great national crusade to make America great again.
Let it be our cause to see that child grow up strong and secure, braced by her challenges, but never struggling alone.
I would do away with the education, and let's see, I can't. The third one, I can't.
The other crazy thing about this is that at the same time that our country is proposing to reduce its emissions by 5%, just 5%, the Chinese are proposing to increase their emissions by 500%.
Just like the rest of Western Australia, a state that doesn't use pokies and problem gamblers to support sport and Anzacs. What could be more un-Australian than that?
That's who we are. Spot on. Cracker Jack. In top nick. To give it a burl, real chin wag, a lot of ear bashing, because there's a lot of ear bashing sometimes.
Thank you for listening again to Kaput Radio. It was a pleasure to have your company. My name is Martin.
You can check all the web details at kaputradio.libsyn.com.
So wish you a good time and catch you again on another episode of Kaput Radio.